The state of Oregon was the first in the U.S. to legalize physician-assisted suicide, and it recently made that option more readily available by eliminating residency requirements to go through the process. Arizona is not one of the 10 states that allows medical aid in dying, and that led two sisters to go from here to Switzerland to end their lives in a clinic. Palliative care options have increased significantly in recent years, but some in Arizona are advocating for the state to legalize medical aid in dying. One of them is retired physician Tom Fitch, who's a member of the leadership team of Arizona End of Life Options. I spoke with him earlier and began by asking what studies indicate about the ways end of life care has changed and what concerns still exist.
What bubbles to the top in all of those studies is the lack or physicians and healthcare providers not having the advanced communication skills to talk about difficult topics, and particularly not comfortable talking about dying and death, as you might imagine. Those are difficult conversations and often long and need to be repeated. And so many within the physician world, I've seen this in my career, it's not that physicians don't care deeply about those that they're caring for, but as people with a serious illness and their illness advances, they're just not comfortable talking about dying or death. They don't know how to do it. So it's not brought up. It's not discussed. I call it, let's try this medicine. The default too often is to talk about another treatment. And so it becomes one treatment after another procedure, surgeries. It's just more and more medical care and really not addressing the fact that the patient's illness is progressing and that death may be relatively close.
Oregon has been, I suppose, a pioneer in this sort of field generally, and now we have a new law signed in Oregon that there are no longer residency requirements. Can I just get your thoughts on that and what sort of impact do you think that could have?
Yeah, Oregon was the first state in 1997 to pass an aid in dying, or to make aid in dying legal. It was done by ballot initiative. And so Oregon has had an aid in dying for over 20 years now. Prior to last week, all states who had passed an aid in dying law, and there are 10 states now that have that aid in dying is legal, plus the District of Columbia. But in each of those, each of the laws stipulates that the patient must be a resident of that state to participate in the process of aid in dying. And the law stipulates what residency means. Most of them, to be honest, it's not that difficult to establish residency. But in Oregon, they just passed, there was a suit that it was unconstitutional to restrict that medical care to just residents of the state of Oregon. And if you think about that, there's no other medical care that you have to be a resident to receive that care in a specific state. Arizona is a good example. All the people that come down here for winter, many if not most get medical care here. They don't have to be a resident of Arizona to receive medical care. So I think it makes sense. Although I would say, to be honest, that people who have advancing serious illness, now that, yes, they could travel and people worry about lots of people traveling now to Oregon to obtain this care. But, you know, it involves a lot. They have to establish care, find a physician, in fact, two physicians. It means, you know, displacing themselves from their support systems where they live, their social support, the medical support they've had. So I don't see this as actually changing a lot.
Do you think that more people would take advantage of medical aid in dying if, and we know this will not happen anytime soon, but if all 50 states had the option of doing it?
The one thing that has been seen in states that have passed aid in dying laws and have legalized aid in dying in those states, end-of-life care and metrics that we use to measure quality in end-of-life care have actually improved in those states. There hasn't been any state where we've seen the spike, or there's been, as I mentioned, tourism, people traveling. That has happened. There's been an improvement in talking about end-of-life care and dying and death. So in no state have we seen spikes in people pursuing aid in dying. And we like to talk about aid in dying as just one of many end-of-life options that should be discussed with people with serious advancing illness. And so those conversations tend to improve and increase in states where aid in dying has been passed. So overall, things like palliative care, hospice care, you see more people entering into hospice, longer stays in hospice. As I said, those metrics that we use to measure excellence in end-of-life care improve in those states.
As humans know more about the science of dying, or people are more honest with their conversations about what conditions they may have or how close they may be to dying, is there a certain level of enlightenment that we as humans can develop to some extent? Or are we just, because it's the unknown, because death is final and so scary to many of us, that it's hard to reach that sort of level of acceptance?
I was an oncologist and hematologist for 35 years, caring for people with advanced cancers. Nearing end of life, I was present at hundreds, if not thousands, of deaths at the time of their death. And, you know, what I learned a lot from caring for people with advancing serious illness and cancers, that many, not all, but probably most, overwhelming majority of people were not actually afraid of death. They were more afraid of the process of dying, the fear of suffering during that process. And I think that's where medical aid in dying has arisen, that people have control over their dying process. One of the interesting things that has arisen out of those who are participate in aid in dying, that a third of people who go through the process are approved or given the medications that they have to self-administer, never take the medication. They are empowered by having control. That, again, that fear of the dying process, they now have control. They're able to determine their own end of life, design their own end of life. And if things don't go as they plan, they have a means by which they can end their life. But a third of the people never take the medications. And one thing I also want to point out is that in this country, in each of the states, less than 1% of those who die participate in aid in dying. So again, it's not a large percentage of people by any means who pursue this, even in states where it's legal, but it becomes an option for them. And again, as many other options for end of life care that they need to be aware of.
Tom Fitch is a retired physician and a member of the leadership team of Arizona End of Life Options.